The following program is pre-recorded. The IRS extended the tax filing deadline to July 15th due to the impact the coronavirus is having on the economy. Now, that's a welcome relief for many financially hit taxpayers, but there are still a few things you need to know. Sometimes what you think you know about taxes can get you into trouble, but reliable information can clear away the confusion. Our host, Rob West, takes aim at some common misbeliefs today about taxes, and we take your calls and questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Myths about taxes. That's next right here on MoneyWise. Rob, no doubt the filing extension has been a real blessing for many, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. It helps a lot, but you have to keep in mind that it only delays the inevitable, and it's important not to get confused by some of the misinformation floating around these days, and it's easy to get confused with our complicated tax system. Did you know that Americans spend $200 billion each year in time and money just to prepare their returns? And that doesn't include the tax payments.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, at least for guys like me, that complexity breeds misinformation. And I know you have some myths about taxes that we want to dispel today. So where do we begin?
The first myth, Steve, is that filing an extension gives you more time to pay your taxes. Filing deadline is now July 15th. Most of us have heard that by now. Given the hardships many are facing this year, no doubt some will need even more time, and that means filing for an additional extension. But you still have to pay your taxes by the July 15th deadline, even if you get another extension.
You know, that never made sense to me, Rob. If you apply for an extension on your taxes because you can't pay them, then how do they expect you to pay them anyway?
Yeah. Well, that's really at the heart of this myth, Steve. The purpose of a filing extension isn't to give you more time to pay. It's to give you more time to gather the necessary documents so you can file an accurate return. Now, you may not be able to determine exactly what you owe, but you have to have at least a ballpark, hopefully get close enough to avoid getting hit with a penalty. Now, this year is different because of the coronavirus. Not only has the filing deadline been extended to July 15th, but interest and penalties for non-payment have been waived until then. However, they'll start accruing the very next day.
Okay, so this may be, for many of us, a real once-in-a-lifetime scenario, huh?
That's exactly right.
All right, what about our next tax myth?
Well, this one has to do with your credit score, Steve. Once upon a time, owing back taxes in the form of a lien would have a negative effect on your score. Surveys show about a third of taxpayers still believe this, but those days are over, and it's interesting why they're over. In 2018, all three credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, deleted all state and federal tax liens from their reports. The reason? Inaccuracies. So taxpayers aren't the only ones making mistakes. The IRS does as well, apparently. Bottom line, owing money to the IRS or your state revenue department will have zero effect on your credit score.
Okay, well, that's good news, especially this year. Okay, our next myth.
Well, that would be you don't have to periodically update your withholdings. You see, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 had a major impact on withholdings, and the IRS encouraged taxpayers to fill out new W-4 forms that determine how much is taken out of paychecks for taxes. Well, many might feel that once they've done that, they can just set it and forget it. But it's a good idea each year to make the best estimate you can of your income and to adjust your withholdings to get as close as possible to owing no taxes when you file. To avoid that exercise, far too many taxpayers simply have excessive amounts withheld because they know they'll get a refund, but that's not good stewardship. You're denying yourself the use of those funds and making what amounts to an interest-free loan to the government. So for this tax season, the average refund is just under $3,000. Now, you'll never determine exactly how much you should have withheld, but most people should be able to get a lot closer than $3,000. The W-4 form has a detailed worksheet so you can estimate your withholdings, but there are also many free online calculators you can use. Just Google withholding calculator. Okay. Rob, what if you just don't believe the tax system is legal? There are people out there that tell other people to, you know, that that's the case.
The Bible's pretty clear, Steve. We need to render under Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what's God's.
Well, your calls are next at 800-525-7000. Pay your taxes, then give us a call, 800-525-7000. MoneyWise, we'll be right back.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, here's some comforting wisdom for you from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13:3. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Stephen. What's your situation, sir?
Hey, let's see. I have student debt. It's about $50,000. 50% of that debt is through the government. And that's been consolidated a few years ago. And then I had about 50% of that debt in private student loans, and that's sitting at about 10.5% interest. And then I have some credit card debt that I am slowly paying off that I charged off a credit card when I got laid off. So I'm just trying to figure out the best way to basically take care of my student loans, whether it's getting them forgiven or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I totally appreciate what you're saying, and we certainly want to get this debt paid off as quick as you can. I've got a couple of questions for you, but let me just say first, I mean, the priority, as you probably know, is the credit card debt. Even if you're playing the balance transfer game, I'd like for you to get that paid off just as quick as you can. With the student loans, you said about half of the $50,000 is federal debt. Obviously, you've consolidated that. That doesn't affect the interest rate. It just provides the aggregate, but it gets you into one payment. With that, you know, you don't want to refinance it, but you could look at the income-based repayment options, which, you know, my ideal situation would be you continue paying the scheduled amount if you can, because that's going to pay it off quicker. But if you really are in a hardship situation right now, depending upon what your income looks like, that would get potentially the payments down. Just to take some relief or provide some relief while you're focused on the credit cards and the private loans. What is your credit score, and have you looked at refinancing the private portion of the student loans?
Credit score right now is at 649.
Okay.
I've tried to refinance it, but I've been denied because of my credit score.
Yeah, okay. And you are working right now and paying everything on time? Okay. Well, that credit score should be coming up. Did you have some late payments in the past, or is this is your credit score lower because of credit utilization? What's going on there?
I got laid off for a while and started paying my student loans with my credit card because I went through all the forbearance time.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And you mentioned for loan forgiveness. Do you qualify for any of the federal loan forgiveness programs based on your situation and work status?
No, I don't work for the government or any schools.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, I think the key right now is just to stay the course. Tell me about the spending plan you have. Do you have an accurate accounting of what it takes to fund your expenses, including the minimum payments to the student loans and the credit card debt? And does it balance? And do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
I do. I have stuff left over, and I've been putting what I have left over into the savings account.
Okay. Why? What do you have right now built up in emergency savings?
I have about $5,000.
Okay. And what do your monthly expenses run?
It's a little complicated, but putting me on the spot right there. Close to about $5,300.
Okay. All right. And last question, how much do you have extra on a monthly basis that you're currently putting into savings?
It ranges from $500 to $2,500. I'm in sales.
Okay.
So it
very
depends
good.
On how sales
yeah.
were.
Yeah. And obviously in the midst of the situation we're in right now, that could affect you in terms of, you know, your ability to generate income. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the key right now is just to try to stay the course, try to keep your spending as much in check as possible. Whenever you're in sales and we go through a situation where the economy tends to lock up like it has right now because of the coronavirus, I realize that can put some pressure on your ability to sell and get out there, meet with people, and people are not going to be spending. Businesses aren't going to be spending quite as much until we get on the other side of this. So I think we need to go kind of into a more of a made budget situation where you look at what are the necessary expenses and what are any opportunities to cut back. So I'd be looking at where you can trim across the board. And if you need help with that, our coaches would be delighted to help. You can access them at moneywise.org. I probably wouldn't do anything right now, just given your credit score, other than continuing to build up that emergency savings as you're able to get up to 3 months' expenses. At that point, you may want to look at really diverting everything you have in terms of excess, and hopefully we're beyond this current virus at that point, diverting everything to reducing the credit cards. The other option is you could look at connecting with our friends at Christian Credit Counselors to get the interest rate down on that $5,000 so that you could make a similar monthly payment to what you're paying right now, but you could pay it off a lot quicker because the interest rates have been reduced. That would allow you to continue to divert any excess that you have to savings, get the interest rates declining quicker, keep the minimum payments on the student loans paid while you explore any additional income-based payment options on the federal portion, which would hopefully take a little pressure off the monthly budget, especially while we're in this tumultuous time here with coronavirus. So I think I'd kind of stay the course right now, apart from looking at the debt management program. And again, you can explore that at christiancreditcounselors.org. To connect with a coach, just go to our website, moneywise.org, and they'd be helpful to help you at free of charge.
Thank you, Stephen. We appreciate that. We wish you the best. Marie, we're coming in your direction, but first, before the break, Monica in Fort Lauderdale, how can we help you?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm retired about a little over a year, and I had an IRA, and so I forgot that. Now I have to start taking out, distributions. But I also have a $500 a CD that really is not getting much. So right. I was wondering if I should just put that into my money management, which gets better interest.
So the CD, is that inside of an IRA or is that outside of an IRA or retirement account?
I'm on separate CD.
Okay, so it's separate from your IRA?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you have right now in emergency savings, Monica?
Well, my money management has $41,000 in there.
Okay. And how do you use that? Do you pull anything out of that regularly, or is that really truly savings?
My retirement goes into my checking, my regular checking account, and that's where I pay from. If I see that I'm running a little short once or twice, every so often I'll take a little out of my money management, but it'll go back once I get my, because I have federal retirement and Social Security, so
okay.
I'm blessed.
And for the most part, that covers your expenses, the retirement that you have coming in each month.
Yes, okay. But I have a complicated situation where I'm still helping adult children.
I see. Okay. And you say money management account. Are you talking about a money market account, or is it actually being managed in the stock market, the $41,000?
No, it was a money, they call it money management. It's like a checking, but you get a higher interest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in the current environment, I wouldn't roll over that CD. I would probably just move that $500 over to your, what you're calling your money management account, which is a cash and cash equivalent. Keep that available as you need it to supplement your income. I think that's a good amount for you to hold on to, and it sounds like you're headed in the right direction.
I'm Steve Moore. Our host is Rob West. We'll be right back.
Three things are open 24/7 for sure: ATMs, all-night gas stations, and the MoneyWise call-in line. You can leave a question for us anytime at 800-525-7000. Lines jam up during the show, but don't let that stop you. Call us whenever. We'd love to hear from you, and we use as many questions as we can. So call whenever it's convenient for you, 800-525-7000. But don't ask for Steve Moore's home number. I got in trouble for that last time.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
And we have some open lines and we'd like to talk with you today. York, Pennsylvania. Marie, we know you've been extremely patient with us. Thanks. And what's your situation? How can we help you?
Hi. Well, my husband and I are 46 years old, and we had a child when we were almost 42, and he has special needs. And we moved an hour away from where we used to live to buy property that costs less and live in a cheaper area, closer to his work. And we ended up buying a house a year and a half ago. And make a long story short, it has foundational issues, structural issues, and we've sunk $100,000 in repairs in just 18 months.
My goodness.
That's just to make it livable. We originally had planned to flip the kitchen because it was a 1989 kitchen, and it was supposed to be our dream home. It does have a nice big yard for our son with special needs to play in and run. But we're 46 years old, and we think we'll never get the mortgage paid off. We owe $217,000 on the mortgage, and we don't have anything left in savings at this point. We just have a small emergency fund. And the only thing that's been keeping us going is that we have good credit, and my husband has been blessed with raises and a bonus recently, and a lot of people have been praying for us.
Yeah. Well, Maria, I'm so sorry to hear about this situation you find yourself in with the home. Is it possible that you've now completed most of the needed repairs, or do you anticipate significant additional repairs moving forward?
Well, in order to sell the house and make a profit, we were told we need to flip the kitchen somewhat because it's so dated, and that would involve about $4,500. And there's a beam that broke. The main structural beam in the house cracked, and we got it fixed temporarily. A friend felt bad for us and basically fixed it for free, but it was just a simple fix. The real fix is going to be around $5,000. And then there's a ton of drywall. Like, we had 11 plumbing repairs in 18 months because the pipes cracked when the house fell. We have walls that have bowed open and door frames that have bent and drywall repair plumbing and ceiling. So all of those repairs probably cost around $7,500 just to put the house on the market. But then we have to disclose that we had all these problems. And then it's possible that it'll continue to happen because it's possible that there's water flowing under the house and that's causing structural damage and the foundation will continue to sink.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a real predicament. I mean, obviously, the extent to which you need more information, I think that would be critical, whether there's a general contractor at your church or perhaps somebody that you don't know, unless you've already gotten this advice, that could come in and help you evaluate what's really going on. Because as you said, you absolutely will have to disclose, which is going to really put a damper on what you'd be able to get out of this. The other side of this is, without any savings, we really don't want to go borrow money to repair this if we don't have to. What do you think the value is? And I realize it's so unknown given what you'd have to disclose and the fact that somebody may not pay even what it's worth because they're getting into some things that are unknown to them. But do you have a sense, or have you had a professional come out and give you a valuation on the property as it stands today?
Yeah, I met a nice Christian realtor, and she said it would sell for $260 if we put that money in the kitchen and repaired the drywall and painted. So basically, if we put about $6,000-$7,000 into the home, it would sell for $260, and we owe $217,000 on it right now.
Yeah, the challenge is that a lot of what I'm hearing, though, that you'd have to do in the $7,500 is cosmetic, and that really may not solve the underlying issues, which would have to be disclosed. So somebody would have to be willing to come in, bring in their own professionals to evaluate it and decide whether it's something they'd have to take on, which means you may end up taking a further hit on the selling price. I think the key is, where would you go to get those source of funds, and can we wait this out such that you could take a surplus right now, if there is one, on a monthly basis and try to rebuild your savings so we're not stretched so thin. If you're not putting money into the house, do you have anything left over at the end of the month just based on your current expenses?
Well, I'm currently not working to stay home with my son. He'll go to kindergarten full day starting in August, and I am a teacher. My hope is that I could go back, and my income would help us to start pay off all this debt and rebuild our savings, because we have no savings at this point, but we do have a little bit of retirement investments, and my husband has a 401k that add up to about $100,000, but we don't want to touch that money. Some of it's in a Roth that we don't want to touch.
So where were you planning to go to get the $7,500 then to sell it now if you decided to do that?
Well, we looked at taking out a home equity loan because some of the repairs that we've already done, they're on 0%, but they'll be up in a year, and we're going to owe anywhere from 15 to 18% interest on them.
I think you need to get a little bit more information. I'd perhaps do a little bit more due diligence on what's actually going on, because you're going to need that information to try to disclose that if you were to sell it anyway. So I'd see if you could find a general contractor, somebody who has some expertise in this area, especially somebody that they could bring in related to the foundation, to see what's really affecting the shifting and the settling of the foundation that's resulting in the cracking and the pipes and all the other things, because that's a real issue that can add up quickly. I'd try to sit this out in the midst of the uncertainty around the virus and coronavirus. It's not going to be a good time to put it on the market anyway. So I think the focus right now is trying to get as much information as you can over the next several months about what's really going on in the house. Try to wait out this current uncertainty and situation we find ourselves in with related to the virus, and try to the best you can to trim your budget to try to build up your savings as much as possible over the next several months. So when you head into the fall, as you're starting to work, you can either A, go ahead and make those repairs and get it sold and have a little bit in the form of a down payment to put in the next place or rent, or decide to hang on to it because you've done most of what's needed and perhaps the remedy for any lingering issues is not as significant as you think. But in the meantime, I'd just stay the course and not try to do anything quickly, especially given that you have no savings and we're heading into a uncertain times here over the next several months.
Marie, we will keep you and your husband and your family in our prayers. This is a complicated situation. You need God's wisdom, and we will do our best to think about you and help you work through this process if we can. Thank you very much for calling. Thanks so much. And thank you for listening. Before we go today, if this program has been a blessing to you, would you consider becoming one of our prayerful and financial supporters, a person who helps this program stay on the air? You can donate securely online when you click the Donate tab on our website at moneywise.org, moneywise.org, and thanks in advance. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you make plans to join us again next time for another edition of MoneyWise.
MoneyWise is provided by MoneyWise Media and listeners like you.